Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Good afternoon. It's wonderful to be back in Hawaii. I just got on a plane on the 8th of May and left here after being here for 2 weeks with the Senate Assembly and all that happened, knowing that in 10 days I would be back on the plane coming back over for this wonderful event. And I thank you in many ways and have a few words of thanks for this congregation and for various people in this congregation as I begin. But first of all, I have to say that something happened as I came driving up to this campus that's not usually the case for me. I came and I looked as I pulled near the parking lot, and it looked like there was one spot left. And I thought, how is that possible? In that little parking lot that you had, I was expecting to go to the other one. And I thought, well, maybe I'll go take it. And I drove into the parking lot, and there I saw my name in front of that parking spot. And I have to say, I felt like an Episcopalian bishop. Just for a moment there. It's not always the case with Lutheran bishops, I can tell you for sure. And I also just want to take a moment, as I was thinking about this wonderful text and the day that we're celebrating this Sunday, the Ascension Day text and the Ascension Day, I thought that I might talk a little bit about an elevator story that I think some of you have heard me tell before, that happened in San Diego when I got on the elevator, fully vested, suit, clerical collar, everything. I was on the top floor coming down to the bottom to lead a worship service. And just as the doors were closing, a couple came rushing in, obviously dressed to go swimming, bathing suits, towels. I politely looked at them. I was standing by the buttons. I said, "Are you going all the way down?" The man looked at my collar. Sheepishly, he said, "I hope not." Well, we're going to be talking about some goings up and some comings down, and I thought, I didn't know that I was going to tell that story, except I'm staying in the same hotel that I was staying in on October 15th of this last year, when in that morning I was up about the same level I'm at this week. The earthquake took place, and of course the electricity went off, and so it was up and down the stairs rather than the elevators that day, along with a lot of other people who were navigating very narrow stairs in that particular hotel. And I thought, well, that's not so significant, but today as I got in that elevator up on the 15th floor, it went down to the 5th floor, it stopped, the doors opened, there was a woman working on the floors out there, they closed again. It went down just a little bit and then stopped, and nothing, absolutely nothing. So I didn't know if I was going to be here about an hour and a half ago. And I pressed all the buttons and knocked on the door, pressed open, pressed shut, decided that this is going to be another interesting day for me in Hawaii, another elevator story to tell. Finally, it kind of went up a little bit, the doors opened, and the woman said, "You still here?" So, great stories for those of us who live half of our life in hotels. Well, I want to say other words of thanks. I want to say words of thanks to this congregation, to your previous pastors, and you've had many, for this congregation has had one of the longest histories in our synod, being well over 100 years old now. And thanks to all those who have served this congregation in years past. We give thanks for their leadership and for who they were and who they are. We are thankful for the interim pastor who has served this congregation and others who have come to supply during this last interim time. Thank you to the interns that have been in this congregation and for this congregation's ministry of preparing interns for ministry. And some of those people are here today. Thank you to the call committee. And I really want to say thank you for honoring the process. That was a wonderful bit of work that the call committee did. It's rigorous work to honor the process that seems to work so well in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And many times congregations want to be entrepreneurial at that time and make the process work more quickly or something, but your congregational call committee decided to honor the process. And the Holy Spirit presides over that process, we know and we believe, and for that we pray. And so I say thank you to all those who served on the call committee. And thanks to the Church Council for your leadership during this interim time and before, to the staff members for all of their good work. And I want to say in their absence a word of thanks to my staff members who worked with your congregation during this past time and kept in touch with you and with the call committee. And finally, thanks to Pastor Lilly and to your family as you have made this big move. From a long way away, you have heard the voice of God in this call. You've answered that voice. You've said yes to a people, but yes to the Spirit of God, and it brings you here. And welcome. Welcome to the Pacifica Synod. Welcome to the Hukilau Conference. Welcome to these beautiful islands, Pastor Jeff and Jean and Megan. And I haven't met Seth yet, and actually haven't met your daughter and spouse yet either, but will afterwards. And we hope that your time here in these islands will be wonderful and most blessed. It's good timing when you came here, right before the Senate Assembly, coming to Hawaii for the first time. And you dove right in and took some responsibilities and played a major part in helping us with worship and other parts of the Assembly. And I thank you for going right to work and being part of the Synod, part of the conference. And that leads me to the second thanksgiving for this congregation's presence and your leadership and the inspiration that you gave to our recent Synod Assembly. The first time in our history that we've come to these islands, and for the many ways that you were involved and for the wonders that you provided for us as volunteers, as worship leaders, as music staff, and all the many things that you did, we are most grateful. Our voting members gave very, very high marks in their evaluation of this assembly. And so for you and the others that are in this room and the clergy that were working on this, I continue to be very grateful. I've said now repeatedly that in my years of being bishop and on synod staff, I've never seen so many Lutherans all in the same place, so happy at the same time. To have 750 people all gathered together, almost as many visitors as we had voting members, all so delightfully happy, was just a wonderful joy. So thank you all for the parts that you played in that. Well, the story and the texts for Ascension Day that are used for this special service this afternoon offer us a great biblical foundation for the installation of a new pastor. What precedes the Ascension story, of course we all know, is a 33-year narrative called Incarnation, the story of the Creator of the universe, God Almighty, coming down and emptying God's very being and God's divine nature, even though that was kept in human form, but entering into the weakness of human flesh, coming down and pouring out life and love, coming down and pouring out body and blood, coming down for the sake of a broken and a sinful world. Since the beginning of time, many faithful and religious people understood God to be up there somewhere. For the most part, they believed God to reside in the highest of the heavens and occasionally on the mountaintops, usually out of sight and out of reach. And then God came down and visited Mary, and was conceived within a virgin, and was born of human flesh, and lived among human beings, among us. And we know the story, this narrative called Incarnation. God died for us, was buried with the weight of a broken world upon God's shoulders, was given up for a sacrifice for you and for me and all who lived, and then rose, overcoming sin, death, and the grave. And 40 days after that resurrection, 40 days after the one who came down to be with us rose from the grave, then he rose from the earth and the humanity that he had joined in Christ Jesus. And God went up again, according to the stories that we read about Ascension Day. In the first lesson that we heard today, Luke tells the story in his opening paragraph to Theophilus in the beginning chapter of the book of Acts. And Luke tells us he was lifted up, and the angel said, Jesus has been taken up into heaven. In the second lesson, St. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, tells these new Christians that God raised Jesus from the dead and then seated him at God's own right hand in the heavenly places and made him head over all the things for the church, which is his body. Made him the head of us, the church. And then in the Holy Gospel, again, Luke, writing in that text, gives to us in the very last part of that gospel lesson another description about Ascension Day, as he describes Jesus' last moments with his disciples, when he breathed on them his spirit, when he opened their minds to the scriptures, when he told them now they have the privilege of being eyewitnesses to the promise of hope and grace. And then he blessed them, Luke tells us, and he was carried away into heaven. So at the time we remember and celebrate the ascension of Jesus to the right hand of the Father, we install a new pastor. And one might think, well, that's fitting for the day. First we lift up Jesus, then we lift up Pastor Lilly as we install him this day. So are we going to elevate a new pastor for Lutheran Church of Honolulu this day? And while it is a great day and a great celebration, I have to bear the news that this day is not about lifting up Pastor Jeff Lilly. It's about lifting up Jesus, the head of this church. And then it's about recognizing and honoring and giving thanks for one who has been called to shepherd this church. But he's been called not to be so much elevated, but to be a servant. And not just Pastor Lilly. The other news I bear this day is that all of us, as the baptized people of God, are called not to elevate ourselves in any way, but to be the servants of Christ Jesus. And among those servants, of which we, all of us, have a place and a part, then some are called to another work of servanthood called shepherding. And they shepherd a people, a flock, God's people. And the work is humble work. And the work is the work of the children of God. And the work is never perfect and always needs God's grace and love and forgiveness. And the work is of those who are saved only by God's grace and by God's mercy and by God's compassion and by God's forgiveness. And so we are here today to be called to feed the flock and to tend the sheep and to shepherd the lost and to bow down our heads and our hearts and pray for one another and to give sacrificially for a world in great need. St. Paul wrote to Timothy, reminding him that We are called to be servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That's a wonderful high calling for any of us, and certainly for those of us who are called to word and sacrament ministry. To be a servant of the one who is the head of this body, St. Paul told us, and to be a steward, a caretaker of the mysteries of word and sacrament and of God's presence in our lives. Well, you probably know this history even better than I do, although for the last 15 years I've come to these islands enough where I'm sort of a resident. I think I've been here much more than a year in the last 15 years, if you total all the days. But you live here and you know this history. And certainly, I'm sure you know that around this time there are some anniversary days that perhaps are remembered by the faith community, the Christian faith community. I know it's on April the 15th in Hawaii, and it's on May the 10th universally, that a man that has a significant memory on these islands is remembered. He was born in 1840. His name was Joseph DeVester. We know him better, of course, as Father Damien. In 1860, at the age of 20, he took his vows to become a brother in the Congregation of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary. In 1864, fulfilling his brother's dream of being a foreign missionary, when his brother could not travel, he got on a ship and he sailed from Europe, and he ended up coming to Oahu. Having no idea of what God's amazing call was going to have him do, he was ordained that same year here on Oahu on May the 24th, a day just coming for us to remember. And during the next years, as leprosy, along with other dreadful diseases, found its way into the native people of these islands and took its dreadful toll, King Kamehameha V decided to segregate those that had this disease to Molokai. And the church responded with a call, as the church always should, a call that they well knew might be a death sentence. It wasn't a call to be elevated so high. It was a call to be brought down low. And Father Damien volunteered for that call, and on May the 10th, 1873, Catholic Bishop Maigret introduced Father Damien to those who were living in Molokai in this way. He said, "This is one who will not hesitate to become one of you, to live and die with you." So is the calling of the people of God. So is the calling of us as the baptized. So is the calling of those who are shepherds of the flock of God's people. Our Lord Jesus, who came down and then went up again, calls us all, every one of us, baptized, church members, church leaders, staff, parish pastors, those in other ministries, bishops, all of us, to reach out to all people, that no one would ever be outside of the reach of God's people. For no one is ever outside of the reach of God. And if we're going to be such a church and such a people, if that's going to be our calling, then there will be those times when we are feeling brought down by that calling, sacrificial and humbled by the experience. But it's God's calling for us to be in the midst of the living and the dying that is so real in our world today. Well, Pastor Jeff, that's your calling. And of course, I waited to tell you that until you got here, rather than, of course, say it before you came. But you are a seasoned pastor, and you've known that before. And the calling here, while the landscape is certainly different, is no different than where you've served before as an ordained minister of the church, as a servant of Christ, as a steward of the mysteries of God. You're now continuing the call that God gave to you many, many years ago, when you first heard that voice, when you explored the possibility, when you went off to school, when you were ordained. That ongoing call to allow God's voice to be the voice that calls you to wherever it might be. Now, there will be many of your colleagues who think that you truly have been elevated by being called to Hawaii. I have to say, of the 65 bishops of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, there seems to be something always in my conversations that lead to Hawaii. And whenever they say, maybe for 3 months, we should trade offices so that a bishop in another part of the country could experience what's going on in that part of the country, everyone says, I want to trade with Fink. Thinking that we spend all of our time here in Hawaii, which has sort of been my case this month of May. However, we all know that ministry here is very, very challenging. In these islands, the most remote islands on this earth. And so it is good, hard work, humbling work, sacrificial work, privileged work to serve among these people, this congregation, this island, these colleagues. Hard work, privileged work, humbling work. It's going to be an amazing time for you and for your family. A gift for you at this time in your ministry. And the really good news for you and for all of us this day is that as we celebrate the exaltation, the lifting up of Jesus at his ascension time, and we are reminded of our call to be servants, while we remember that nowhere are we supposed or called to lift up ourselves or even especially lift up one another, that's God's work and God's calling, and God promises to do just that. Both James and Peter wrote that we're called to humble ourselves before the Lord, and then God will exalt us. What a great promise that God will do that work of lifting you and me and your new pastor up in the days ahead. Jesus said it in a number of ways, and I could go on for quite a while quoting what he said. But Jesus reminded the people that when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. You will be lifted up. He also said, when you're invited, go and sit at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. And so it's in God's own heart, in God's own will, in God's own timing, that God exalts us. He lifts us up out of our brokenness in his crucifixion. He lifts us up out of death in his own rising from the death. And he lifts us up on our daily journey as we humble ourselves before our God, as we bow ourselves in sacrifice to him in God's own way of blessing and keeping us, in God's own way of letting his face shine upon us, in God's own way of granting us great favor and giving us God's peace. So God will lift us up to the challenge of ministry together in this congregation, in this community, in this island, and in this church. And God will lift up the charge before us to serve faithfully as servants and as stewards. Thanks be to God, to the one who came down and now the one who has gone up again to sit at the right hand of God, and the one who is present here in this moment and in our daily lives in the power of God's own Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.